What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we're back. I did not have time to find that article there. When Aaron comes back, I'll have him go look through that pile again over here. But I know it's in there somewhere. But anyhow, where we left off with her, she was attending a drag queen event. The campaign. She wants to make sure that she gets all the drag queen vote. Flashback. Kamala Harris is a descendant of a notorious Irish slave owner on sugar plantation in Jamaica. The Gateway Pundit has now been reporting Kamala Harris' ancestral ties to slavery for the past few years. Now that she is the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, it's crucial to bring this issue back into the public eye to expose her hypocrisy. Kamala Harris, the daughter of Donald J. Harris and Shamala Gopalan Harris, is a descendant of an Irish slave owner who managed a Jamaican plantation and fiercely opposed the abolition of slavery, according to British historian Stephen McCracken. That wasn't in that pile. Maybe, Aaron, you can look in some the rest of those there and look for the article about lawmakers. And here's another. Wayne Root, the choice of Kamala makes no sense. It's a terrible mistake, but Democrats have something up their sleeve, something very evil. And, okay, I think he found the article. Okay. Yeah, let me go here. Let's see. Here it says she's getting impeached. Well, Republican Congress has introduced articles of impeachment against Vice President Kamala Harris. Her failure to control immigration and alter the public to the decline of President Joe. There was another thing that took place yesterday, but let me see. I'm going to see this.
That's not it?
Well, no, this talks about the impeachment, but
I looked at it, Pastor Ernie. They voted to condemn her.
That's it. That's it, yeah. Condemn her, yeah.
So what's that mean?
The impeachment vote is yet to come.
Yeah, that it means that she was condemned for not doing her job as a border job for.
Right.
And so, yeah.
Well, Kamala is a Marxist. Don't be deceived, America. She is a Marxist.
Here. Donald J. Trump is not supposed to be alive. It's literally a miracle that President Trump is still standing. This was clearly a conspiracy by the highest levels of government, the deep state, D.C. swamp, and Democrats to have him murdered on Saturday, July 13th. They were questioning the former head of the Secret Service, and they asked her flat outright, you know, if this was an assassination attempt by the deep state or whatever. And she said, you know, she doesn't discuss these things while the investigation's still in place. But anyhow, going back to this, Trump was winning by a landslide, destroying Joe Biden in every poll, and about to preside over the most popular and successful political convention in history, while unifying the entire country, but the forces of evil running our country thought that they had the solution to eliminate him. Remember what happened just a week before that. Remember what Joe Biden said? He was frustrated. Remember he said a year ago,
yes,
a year ago he said, I will stop him. He will not run. He will not, I will stop him. Well, the lawfare failed, right?
Yes.
And so, and they're still saying that those, Chucky Schumer says he'll still find a way through lawfare. He's still going to find to try to stop Trump. They're scared to death of Trump because Trump is going to come after them. They've committed high treason, and they know that. And so the deep state is in shock that Trump survived, let alone turn lemons into lemonade. The assassination attempt gave Trump the most historic, iconic image in the history of modern American politics. That really, yeah, that shot really did.
It's a beautiful picture.
You'll see that over and over. Oh, they'll use that in campaign ads.
Well, praise the Lord he spared his life and saved them.
Everything that has happened since that had been a result of the shock, panic, and desperation of the Democrats in the deep state. They need to come up with Plan B fast, okay? I'd look for them to try something else, okay, to try another attempt on him. Now, to show you that the fact that it was...
That account from Austin.
Yeah, we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
Where you had the different BlackRock, okay.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
So this is a Gateway Pundit article. Investment firm that allegedly put options on 12 million Trump stocks day before assassination attempt blames filing error.
Yeah.
Rothschild, BlackRock, Vanguard, Meta, George Bush, and Cheney family among top investors. Austin Private Wealth, LLC, a Texas-based financial planning company, is being scrutinized after a social media post went viral that claimed they had put options on as many as 12 million shares of DJT shares just one day before the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. The investment firm denied the allegations and has now blamed a filing error for this controversial action. The firm released the following statement. The SEC filing, which showed that Austin Private Wealth shorted a large number of shares of Trump Media and Technology Group Corp., was incorrect, and we immediately amended it as soon as we learned of the error. No client of APW holds or has ever held a put on DJT in the quantity initially reported. The correct holding amount was 12 contracts or 1,200 shares, not 12 million shares, as was filed in error. So they go on and on and on. Social media users are scrutinized. Austin Private Wealth investors. The latest 13F filings reveal a list of top investors, including influential globalists such as the Rothschild family, BlackRock, Vanguard, and Meta, as well as prominent political families like the Bushes and the Cheneys.
There you go. So,
Pastor Ernie, it was like 12 to 15 million shares.
Yeah, I know. It's an amazing
clerical error of, you know, 15 million shares.
Ask them at NBC, ABC, CBS. Maybe they know, right? They're the ones that always
expected him to die, and it would send shockwaves through the whole all his businesses, and so they were set to make a fortune on him dying.
Right, absolutely. Alrighty, again, this is obvious. Look, it was so obvious. Most all of your former,
he should have never been.
Your former Secret Service agents made it very, very clear. They've been speaking out. They said it's so obvious that that was a setup, And that's what they asked the head of that. Was this a setup? And she refused to answer.
Yeah, because of the security risk, he should have never been on the stage.
Yeah.
They knew he was there an hour before.
Yeah.
Flew a drone. People saw him climbing with a rifle.
Here's another question that Trump asked. He asked about Chris Ray. FBI agents were vetted to find out if any of them had voted for Trump. You know, now why do you think they were vetting these agents, John? You were a federal agent, so you know. They were vetting them to find out if any of them had voted for Trump. What do you think they were looking for or afraid of?
Yeah, they wanted to get him out of the FBI.
Yeah, but the reason is whistleblowers. They were looking for potential
oh, yeah.
whistleblowers.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. You're right, Mr. Yes. Yeah.
And so, so now they're going to have to answer for that. You know, this Chris Ray, man, this guy just lies under oath all the time. And one of these days he's going to just break down and just, I think he's, you know, you could tell that's starting to wear on him, okay? And, you know, we talked about this yesterday. For 7 years, the FBI had pro-lifers. Pro-lifers were on the terrorist watch list. And even National Right to Life was on there for 7 years, okay? So all the time Trump was in office, he didn't even know that his so-called Justice Department had put pro-lifers. Okay, why? Well, where were Trump's most active supporters? Pro-lifers.
Ernie, it came out yesterday. I don't think you've seen this. Let me turn to it on my blog here, where for 7 or 8 years or more, the U.S. Army has been giving seminars about right to lifers are terrorists. Here's the headline. Army says slides labeling anti-abortion groups as terrorists have been used for over 7 years. So, and just listen to this here. The presentation also said common tactics used by anti-abortion activists, including demonstrations and protests, truth displays, picketing, and sidewalk counseling are dangerous.
Yeah,
so they've been indoctrinating the military now for 7 or more years that demonstrating against abortion is like evidence that you're a terrorist.
To the army,
Pastor.
Well, I mean, it's just amazing. Go ahead.
Here's an article. The Gateway Pundit, widespread CrowdStrike outages explained, possible election implications. In the early hours of Friday morning, not long after President Trump concluded his speech at the RNC convention, news began to pour out on social media about IT outages across not just the country, but the globe. Major U.S. airlines Delta, American Airlines, and United Air grounded flights. As of this writing, Delta has resumed some flight departures, while American Airlines and United Airlines have said they've resumed normal operations but expect delays. While the airlines seem to be operating at normal or somewhat normal capacity, the FAA's National Airspace System status has added to their list of impacted airports. This list is subject to change. The outages have impacted banks, hospitals, police, and emergency services, media, and among others. The source of the problem has been identified by CrowdStrike as having to do with the Falcon platform. CrowdStrike is a cybersecurity company who is a critical component in the Democrat-led and Democrat-funded Russia hoax. Mark Cook is a computer expert who has been investigating election machines, infrastructure, and procedures since the 2020 election. On his website, handcountroadshow.org, he offered an explanation in layman's terms describing the Falcon platform, Falcon sensor, as part of their cloud-based endpoint protection platform. According to Cook, the blue screen of death experienced globally after the outage is caused by an update that conflicted with Microsoft Windows, causing machines to get stuck during reboot, preventing them from loading the operation software. In terms of political impact on our election, Cook writes, the idiots that implemented our cloud-based voter registration and poll book systems have created a huge abuse vector in our election ecosystem, and I'd be shocked if those election systems weren't also affected by this. And there's nothing that can prevent there being another accidental or intentional abuse. Have you considered that this may just be cover for an election hack just prior to or during an election? It would be perfect cover. He notes in his article, a post on X from Katie Hobbs of Arizona regarding the impacts on Arizona. While Maricopa County Elections put out a similar statement that some voting locations have been impacted, Arizona's primary elections are on July 30th. That's 4 days from now. But let's be real, it's now election month, not election day. So, of course, early voting begins 28 days prior to the 30th. Cook offers his advice on how to fix these systems as well, and is little more concerning than the watered-down version mentioned earlier. So here's an ask for everyone. Call, if you live in Arizona, call your state reps and state senators demanding that they have their local election machines checked and fixed correctly. Cook has his website. It's called handcountroadshow.org with directions on how to fix this error.
All righty, here you go. Here's we talked about this some yesterday, but the Secret Service Recruitment Guide confirms that the DEI, that's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, is the highest calling. Competence is not a priority. Competence is not a priority with Secret Service. And if you're a white male, forget about it. You don't get hired. Of course, that might change now because they just fired she just quit. The former head of the Secret Service wanted to have 30% of all secrets as women. It was diversity, equity.
There's your woke. There's woke has got to go.
Yeah, it was totally woke. And here's another. This is, Joe Biden's family, Frank Biden, Joe Biden's brother, says that Joe Biden is terminal. Joe Biden brother Frank told CBS News that Biden's declining health played a considerable role in his decision to drop out. Joe Biden officially dropped out of the 2024 presidential race on Sunday. Remember, Sunday morning, he said that he was in to the end. He was in the race to stay. Sunday morning, then they beat up on him. Nancy Pelosi, Obama, and they all ganged up on him. And then that Sunday night, he had to announce that they forced him into it. Because Joe Biden said he was not going to endorse Kamala Harris. He was not going to endorse her. But they told him, Joe, no, you're going to do what we tell you, Joe. Biden made the announcement on X like a coward. He had been hiding out as a Rehoboth beach house for days. Joe Biden didn't say why he was dropping out of the race. We know Obama was behind the coup. He was a funeral-like feeling to Frank Biden's statement to CBS News. He said that Joe Biden is terminal. Frank Biden told CBS News that he wants Biden back to enjoy whatever time we have left together. There you go.
Apparently, Pastor Ernie, I think the final straw was Kamala said she was going to invoke the 25th Amendment if he didn't sit down.
Yeah.
And that was the final straw.
All right. Elizabeth Warren. Oh, this is a wicked woman. It's just amazing how, it tells you, in Isaiah chapter 3, that God gives a rebellious people, God gives a sinful people, women as rulers. And he's given us some of the most wicked women. You see so many of these governors, these women governors, and witches, they're involved with witchcraft, okay? We have some really nasty ones out there today.
What state is she a senator of?
Massachusetts,
yeah. That's
people of Massachusetts, time to vote a new senator.
Yeah, this
get
woman
you a
is,
new senator.
She is wicked. Democratic senator and fake Indian Elizabeth Warren went on CNN to promote Kamala Harris after she stole all of Biden's delegates. Okay. Harris is now at the top of the Democratic ticket after Obama and Pelosi forced Joe Biden out of the 2024 race. Since Joe Biden dropped out of the race via announcement on X, the Democratic Communist media complex has thrown their support behind Kamala, even though she is highly unpopular. Only 3 out of 10 people polled that they were they did this poll said that they thought she had a chance of winning. But what I was saying before was these women, as it says in Isaiah 3:5, John, you remember all those four colleges, Harvard, Yale, where you had this anti-Semitism, you had the big anti-Israel protests.
Columbia.
Yeah, Columbia. And all four of those universities, their presidents were these women. All four of them had these women presidents.
You're right.
And they were wicked to the bone, okay? All four of them, okay? And so, anyhow, and this woman, Kamala, or Elizabeth Warren, this woman, you know, she...
How many decades has she been a senator?
Too many. Way too many.
Come on, people of Massachusetts. Vote for a new senator.
Here, listen to this. CNN's Caitlin Collins asked Warren what Harris's biggest accomplishment was as vice president, and the fake Indian said Harris's biggest accomplishment was visiting abortion clinics.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
It goes back. It's we the people's fault for allowing this garbage.
She was the first vice president in history to visit abortion clinics. What a wicked woman. I mean, this Elizabeth Warren is wicked to the bone.
Yeah, and Pastor Ernie, not only abortion, but she's voted for infanticide. After the babies are born, the mother can decide within a month to keep the baby or not.
To murder the baby. The Bible calls it murder.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to decide whether or not to murder the child, yeah. These are some really wicked, wicked people. Boy, I'm telling you, there's so many articles here.
We got some good news from the January 6th situation.
Yeah, go ahead. I think 120 of the January 6ers are going to be getting out soon.
This is a WND article, Crusading J6 Attorney Pays Huge Price for Defending Pro-Trump Patriots. Washington, the turn of a few key events may change the fate of the January 6th political prisoners now staring down the dark tunnel of a decade or more in prison for seditious conspiracy. While the re-election of Donald Trump in November would almost guarantee the leaders of the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers a presidential pardon, a series of recent Supreme Court rulings may likewise end up cutting time off the lengthy prison sentences they were handed for what many consider no greater crime than wrongthink. On June 28th, SCOTUS ruled the Justice Department's use of 18 U.S.C. 1512 in conjunction with the most serious criminal charges leveled against former President Donald Trump and an ever-growing number of J6 defendants is unconstitutional. The statute says an offender who, one, alters, destroys, mutilates, or conceals a record, document, or other object, or attempts to do so, with the intent to impair the object's integrity or availability for use in an official proceeding, or two, otherwise obstructs, influences, or impedes any official proceeding, or attempts to do so, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years or both. The trouble is, in all the American history of the Department of Justice, has never used this statute to prosecute demonstrators, even when protests descended into skirmishes, riots, arson, assault, death, or worse. Prosecutors, in effect, invented previously non-existent crimes as if they were the U.S. Congress. The Supreme Court's ruling should put a precipitous halt to the government's over-prosecutorial adventurism of nonviolent offenders whose only crime amounts to misdemeanor trespassing and consequently vacating the convictions of possibly more than 100 J6ers. So glory to God for that.
Alrighty, the Daily Caller Foundation. I take unbelievable pleasure in his misery. Top Democratic Communist Party strategist fantasizes about Trump's suffering. And you know who that is. That's the snake. That's what they called him, the snake. James Carville. Democratic strategist, the snake, James Carville, on Thursday disclosed that he fantasizes about former President Donald Trump being miserable and that it makes him feel at ease. Snake, you are truly a pitiful, pathetic person, right? Trump picked Republican Ohio Senator J.D. Vance to be vice presidential candidate after his son, Donald Trump Jr., strongly advocated for his selection. I don't know if that would have been the right thing to do. In other words, no one's ever done anything like that, having a president, the father, and the vice president, the son, okay? Carville suggested he thinks Trump is unhappy about choosing Vance, prompting the Democratic Communist Party strategist to reveal his fantasies about the former president's rage, particularly at his son, during an episode of his Politics and War Room podcast. That you would expect something like that to come from Carville. Carville is worried because I heard him say before, you know, she could never win. She could never, you know, you got to find another candidate. But now the word's going out. It's Kamala. The words come from the top. The big boys have said that. So for now, until you get further notice. So what did the snake do? He goes right in. He, you know, with the rest.
Who is this guy?
James Carville.
Let me see the picture.
He's a Democratic Communist Party strategist. He was
on CNN
during the Clinton.
Yeah, that guy, right? He's a leftist, right?
He's a communist to the bone. Okay, and it was interesting because he's married
Crossfire or something.
He's married a conservative woman,
Mary Madeline.
Yeah,
his wife.
Yeah.
Was his show Crossfire? Is that right?
No, he's a pundit. He's on all these left wing talk. They even Fox News puts him on now and then. And so,
Pastor, how in the world could she ever marry him? Come on, is she for real or what? I mean,
I don't know. That's
she can't be real to marry him.
I don't know, John. It's beyond me. Listen here. Here is the FBI official who expressed disappointment that Trump survived the assassination attempt. And here, FBI Director Christopher Wray appeared before the House Judiciary Committee on the attempted assassination of President Donald Trump. GOP Congressman Chip Roy asked Wray if any FBI agents expressed disappointment that Trump survived the assassination attempt. In 2015 and 16, top FBI officials infamously texted about their insurance policy to make sure Trump was never elected or inaugurated as president. Chip Roy said, referring to Lisa Page and Peter Strzok. I remember that. They said, we're going to stop him. Have any FBI agents texted, emailed, or expressed disappointment that Trump survived the assassination attempt or otherwise editorialized what the assassination attempt? And Chip Roy asked Chris Wray. Chris Wray said at least one FBI official had expressed disappointment that Trump wasn't killed by the gunman. The individual has been referred to in our inspection division, Ray said. The FBI official who expressed the disappointment that Trump survived an assassination attempt is a woman named Jenna Howell. Jenna Howell posted a name with a photo of Trump and a Grim Reaper captioned, "Oh, so close." And there's a picture of it there. So, there you go. Nobody cares. Joe Biden dropped out of the 2024 race in much anticipated address to the nation. Only 6,000. Listen to this. You know, when he was on, you know, this is the second article I read on this, John. Only 6,603 people tuned in to the White House YouTube channel. This is unbelievable, okay? For a guy that has supposedly had 83 million people vote for him, and only 6,603 people actually tuned in while he gave his farewell speech. Joe Biden held much anticipated address to the nation on Wednesday night. Biden was expected to officially drop out of the 2024 presidential race Only 6,603 people tuned in to watch Old Joe on the White House YouTube channel. Americans just aren't interested in listening to this old corrupt serial liar. This article's out of the Gateway Pundit. Biden lashed out at Trump while calling for unity. Biden claimed to defend democracy. He did this by censoring and jailing the political opponents, destroying the U.S. standing in the world, and stealing the 2020 election. We'll be right back after this.
It feels so fine, this New Age church of mine. The service is laid back. But still I know you reap what's sowed, and I can't stop thinking about all of that. Well, I remember when God was praised, but that's not what the New Age church is for. The truth is fine, but it's long gone. The gospel's truth, but it ain't wanted anymore. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died. And he has risen on high. And if you're lost, then you had better know why. Believe him only still. Did you ever read about a child who seemed to be a king? And he became one. Well, he's coming back to judge the world, and he and the Father are still the very same one. But I've had a fearfulness deep inside, and I've cried because I'm so afraid to know. And I'm not a man of the kind to be scared till I go to heaven, or as I fear, below. I am, he said. You had better care. Is it a judgment for all? You will be there. I am, he died. He is risen on high. If you're lost, then you had better know why. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died.
I am, he said. Okay, we're going to open the phone lines, take some calls. It looks like AC is up front. Hey, AC, you're in the air.
Hello, pastor and chaplain and crew.
All righty.
Hello, brother.
Hello, AC.
You had a caller last night who was in great fear that there would be a nuclear war coming. And on Coast to Coast this week, which is a nationally broadcast program in the wee hours of the morning, they had a guest who prophesied that there will be a nuclear attack against the United States within 7 months that will destroy America. This man's name is Benjamin Baruch, and says he is a Messianic Jew. He claims that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be spared. Now, he also adamantly claims this. He adamantly claims that the United States is Mystery Babylon of Revelation 17. Now, I have irrefutable evidence that the United States cannot be Mystery Babylon, and I attempted to call in to refute what he was saying, got on the line, but there was static on my phone, and they told me to call back, and I couldn't get back in the queue there. But anyway, another caller called in toward the end of the show and asked Benjamin Baruch about the rapture. And he told this caller that the rapture is a fable originated as a footnote inserted into the Scofield Reference Bible and will not happen.
Yeah, I've heard that before. It's unbelievable. Margaret McDonald, right? Scofield had this girl, young girl named Ronald, McDonald. What was her name? Anyhow, she supposedly Margaret McDonald, right? She supposedly had this dream about the rapture and told Scofield, and that's where that. Well, you know, the problem was long before Scofield was born, the Apostle Paul talked about the rapture. Peter talked about the rapture. The Lord Jesus talked the rapture long before Scofield or Margaret McDonald ever existed, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
And so,
and if you study both the scriptures related to the rapture and the second coming, there's two separate events.
Right.
You can't add them, or you can't say they aren't.
Pastor Ernie, what happened? Something dramatic happened in the, I'm going to say to the mid to late 1800s, and we had a Reformation that kind of went under the radar. You get to the first Reformation in the 1500s, and the just shall live by faith. Really, that was the heart of it, and the Word of God over the Catholic Church. But they didn't touch prophecy. If you look at the reformers, there they completely left prophecy alone. But in the 1800s is when it came out about prophecy. God brought it out like a Reformation. And there was the rapture was looked at literally. If you look at the scriptures literally, you're going to see a rapture. You don't spiritualize it. And
right.
You see the rebirth of the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
That picked up, Pastor Ernie, but that's still under attack by the old type of denominations that think that there's the church replaced Israel and that, you know, it's all figurative, it's not literal. Well, Christ's first coming was literal to the word. To the very letter, it was literal. And his second coming is not spiritual, it's literal. So if you take it literal, you end up believing in the rebirth of Israel and the rapture of the church. That's exactly what happened. And we had great evangelists that preached that, D.L. Moody and R.A. Torrey, and all the great evangelists really since then have been preaching this the Reformation, the rapture and the rebirth of Israel.
Yeah, I know, and so, the Apostle Paul, preached that, right? We have it.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 17.
You have it also in 1 Timothy, or 1 Thessalonians, right, 13 through 17. But
the key, Pastor, isn't it that, so the word rapture is not in the Bible, but it's catching away or calling up, and that's the Greek word harpazo.
Yep, that's right, okay. There's a lot of words that aren't in the Bible. But
I've engaged the replacement theology people a lot, a real lot. And it's very clear in Scripture, in Zechariah 14, when the Lord returns, he's going to return to the Mount of Olives.
Right, exactly.
At the height of a major war where Israel is about to be destroyed, and he returns on the Mount of Olives, which Acts 1:11 says he's going to.
With all of his saints, he's going to return. And then I believe, where is it?
With all the saints. So,
and the Mount of Olives will split, literally.
Yeah. All righty. Well, listen, thanks, AC. I got to move on, but thanks. Go ahead, John. Finish that. You were breaking up.
Yeah. So Pastor Ernie, I'm putting a challenge out for those that will say deny the rapture. They deny the literalists of it. I say the scripture says Christ returns on the Mount of Olives in Zechariah chapter 14 and Acts 1:11.
Absolutely.
Where does he return to? How does Christ return, Pastor Ernie?
With his saints, clouds. We're not being called up. It's a separate event.
They just attack the idea of the rapture, but they don't offer another explanation. Okay, Christ isn't going to return to Israel. You don't believe it. So where does he return?
Well, I don't know, John. Okay, there you go. I mean, it's pretty clear, right? I mean, he literally spells it out to it for us. So.
That's when you believe the Bible literally. It's very clear. You don't spiritualize it.
You know, I know, but it's lunacy, and I know that replacement theology theories and that you have a lot of that in the Presbyterian and a lot of the Methodists believed in a lot of that. But you're right. Anyhow, we've got who do we have next? Let's go out to San Diego with Jack. Jack, you're in the air.
So, Pastor Ernie, in reference to your caller,
yeah,
I think he was referring to my call last night, and what I said is that President Trump, in all of his speeches, is constantly warning about the possibility of World War III. Wasn't me. It's Trump. And I was listening to C-SPAN today, and they were interviewing Secretary of State Blinken. And I was astounded about what he said, that Iran is 1 to 2 weeks away from making a nuclear weapon. And the interviewer was astounded, too, and she had him repeat that. 1 to 2 weeks away from making a nuclear weapon. Now, I never thought Israel would allow Iran to get that far, because Israel, in its small size of a country, it would only take, probably a 10-megaton nuclear weapon to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. There'd be nothing left. And obviously, they couldn't afford to allow Iran to get in that position, but maybe we're closer to war than we think, or maybe they're going to let Iran get a nuclear weapon and roll the dice. But a month ago, the Secretary General of NATO was being interviewed, and he said that NATO has gone to their, in Europe anyway, the European version of NATO, NATO has gone to their version of DEFCON 2, they call it Charlie, and that means that they're uncrating their nuclear warheads and putting them on ICBMs, getting them ready to go. We also know that Putin is constantly threatening the use of nuclear weapons, and I think we pretty much know that once they start using nuclear weapons, even if they're tactical, it's not going to stop there, and will continue to escalate, and probably escalate very quickly, like in a matter of a day or two. So the prospect of this, I mean, nobody ever questions Donald Trump about, what are you talking about all the time, World War III? So the other thing I wanted to mention was FBI Director Wray. His testimony yesterday that Trump was hit by a bullet or shrapnel. Now, he took that back and apologized today and said that it was a bullet. But he's the one that voluntarily introduced shrapnel. Now, where does shrapnel come from? A hand grenade or maybe an exploding bullet? Now, the only people that have access to exploding bullets is the military, the CIA. where is he? Where is Christopher Wray getting his information from that he could even introduce the prospect that Trump was hit by shrapnel?
It's called disinformation.
Right. You know, we have watched Christopher Wray, and we've sat there and watched him lie under oath time and time and time again.
But what would be his motive to introduce? What would that be, a red herring?
would he introduce something
like shrapnel as a possibility that Trump could have been hit by that, unless he's trying to move the story to another scenario?
John McTurner knows about everything. Go ahead and answer him, John.
He's trying to lessen the threat against Trump, that it was shrapnel, which is radically different than a 223 round, which is very explosive against flesh and bone. So it was like it wasn't a great danger to his life. It's like stupid. I don't know. I think he was desperate to weaken the threat against Trump is why he did that.
You never can tell, Seattle. Sometimes they like to send a message out to people, certain people out there listening. And we've seen, like, remember when Bill Clinton and remember the woman with the blue dress, his aide, what was her name?
Zelensky?
Yeah. When Bill Clinton said, remember they had him, and he said, I did not have sex with that woman, Ms. Zelensky, okay? He wasn't saying he didn't have sex with Zelensky. He was sending her a message because he didn't want her, okay, to testify against him. So, in other words, he was trying to send a message to her that he didn't have sex with some other woman, okay? And that's why if you listen carefully to the way he said, remember when he said, what is, okay? So he said, so sometimes when these people are making a statement, they're sending an esoteric message to certain people out there. Now, there might be something in that word, shrapnel or whatever, that carries another message, where there's certain people you don't want to, that you're under surveillance. Even the head of the FBI could be under surveillance, and he wanted to make sure. This is my guess. When you send a message like that you don't come in contact with certain people, and you don't front certain people, so you send messages that way. They're listening to you. I mean, that's just a guess because that does happen. And meanwhile, how much time do I have, Johnny?
About 8 minutes.
John, you've got 8 whole minutes to give an invitation. Can you do her, John?
I'll try, Pastor Ernie. I'll try.
6 minutes, sorry. Oh, okay. It's down to 6 minutes now. So that was a long pause, but go for it.
Yeah. Well, Pastor Ernie, one of my favorite ways of sharing the gospel is to look at the people in heaven and what they say about how they get there or how they got there, because people could maybe question me and how I'm presenting the gospel, but let's take it to heaven. And we go to Revelation chapter 5, and in Revelation chapter 5, the people in heaven are singing a new song to Jesus Christ. And in that song, in fact, let me turn to it. We'll start at verse 9. And when they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou was slain. Now, this is a song. Thou was slain to Jesus Christ. So slain, that he died on the cross, and has redeemed us to God by thy blood. There it is. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So it ties there. In heaven, the people are saying, they're there, and they're singing to the Lord because he was slain, and he was slain on the cross. And on the cross, he shed his sinless, the precious blood of the only begotten Son of God without sin. He shed his blood, as the Bible says, to take the penalty for our sin, because he was without sin. And then his righteousness, he is called God's righteous servant in the Bible, was imparted to us. It was a trade. Jesus became sin for us. He took the penalty for sin. And those that believe in him, those that repent and confess him as their Savior, they receive his righteousness, and that's what allows us to go to heaven, Pastor. Not works, not anything other than what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. So in heaven, they're acknowledging this, and it says, "For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." Now, it's very interesting here. It says every kindred. That means like every tribe. And every tongue, okay, language. And people, that's male, female, black, white, yellow, red, cultures, and nations. It's inclusive, Pastor Ernie. It's inclusive of the whole world. It's available. Salvation is available to anyone that will obey the gospel and believe in the death of Christ. And the actual gospel is Jesus died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried, and the third day he bodily rose from the dead. That's the gospel to believe. So it's open for anyone listening, no matter what your past is or was, no matter what it was, if you're willing to repent, no matter what, folks, if you're willing to repent of sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you're willing to repent and turn to Christ, God will accept you into his heaven, because it says the people in heaven came from every tribe, every language, every type of people, and every nation. Then the Bible says that when we come to Christ, that resurrection power should flow through us into what the Bible calls the new walk in the newness of life. That power, the resurrection power, because he rose from the dead, and the power of the resurrection, that should flow through us too. We rise in the newness of life. And when we look at Luke 4:18, Pastor Ernie, I've come to realize Luke 4:18 defines what the newness of life is. It's that through Jesus Christ, resurrection power, God heals all broken hearts. And then it says, "Set at liberty."
1 minute, John, 1 minute. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm almost finished. "Set at liberty to them that are bound." That means strongholds, bondage to sin is freed from us. And to set at liberty them that are crushed, them that are oppressed of the devil. That's walking in the newness of life that is available to all believers in Jesus Christ. When they confess him as their Savior, they believe in their heart God raised them from the dead, and that just like the people in heaven are there, you have assurance of eternal life, and you can have freedom in your being with a healed heart and freed mind and freed of being oppressed of the devil. Okay, Pastor Ernie, I'll have to end now because we're almost out of time.
All right, we just about are out of time, so we always say we get to this point every night. I want to thank all you folks for being here with us tonight. I want to thank you for the support you've given us over the years. And we want to say now good night.
Good night.
We want to say God bless to you all.
God bless.
And then we want to say always, always, always.
Always.
Ready?
Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.